welcome. In this study, we're going to cover the subject of the so-called secret rapture, probably the most popular teaching on the manner in which Christ will return. In essence, this is a doctrine that states that Christ will return in two stages. Firstly, invisibly, that is in secret. To rapture or catch up is overcoming church to heaven. Those left behind will be plunged into a period of great tribulation on earth for a period of 7 years, at the end of which Christ will return a second time, this time in visible power and glory. Many books have been written about this doctrine, but we'll proceed on the line of a subject title of one book with the title, quote, "So Secret It Can't Be Found in the Bible," unquote. So with those things in mind, let's go straight to the scriptures. We read in Matthew chapter 24, verses 25 to 27, the words of Jesus Christ. "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Jesus was very explicit in his description of the manner in which he will return. He also sounded a warning about the nature and form of deception that would be prevalent surrounding the details of his return, doctrines that will be in common belief in the last days and will deceive many. In contrast, he made it crystal clear that his return will be both visual and unmistakable, not confined to some obscure desert place or taking place in secret. In Revelation 1 and verse 7, it states, "Behold, he," that is Christ, "cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." The word amen or amen means so be it, it's final. And even based on this single scripture alone, it is final that every eye shall see him. The only aspect of Christ's return that can in any way be described as a secret is the day and hour that the event shall take place, and not the manner in which it will happen. We read in Matthew 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." We read in Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." The emphasis in this passage of Scripture is not on stealth or secrecy in the manner of the event as it takes place, but rather on the unexpectedness of the event. This becomes clear in the following scripture. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, we read the following, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So according to scripture, this will be an event typified by great noise and accompanied by fervent heat, certainly not a secret, stealthy return. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul provides us with a description of the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. In verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 to 18, we read, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. These scriptures make it clear that Christ will return once for both the dead and the living saints, and it will be accompanied by a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Again, this is not a secret event. It will be loud, and it will be awesome. We go back to Matthew 24 and verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Again, this is a once-off event, not a two-stage process, and it will involve a great sound. The reality of Scripture is that there is no such thing as a secret rapture in the Bible. In fact, the word rapture does not even appear once anywhere in the Scriptures. This is a theological invention, and it's deceiving millions of people around the globe today. The truth is that it is a theory invented by the long-time traditional enemies of the Bible, namely the Roman Catholic Church. Why? The prime motive is to divert attention from the Antichrist nature of the papacy, and to seek to destroy the work of the Protestant reformers. It is a part of the planned Roman Catholic counter-reformation of the 17th century. The so-called secret rapture was a part of what has become known as the futurist or dispensational interpretation of Bible prophecy. The futurist theory was formulated by the Spanish Roman Catholic Jesuit priest Francisco Ribera in 1590 and further promoted through Manuel de Lacunza, another Jesuit priest who used the pseudonym Juan Josaphat ben Ezra in his main work on the interpretation of the prophecies of the Bible, which was entitled The Coming of the Messiah in Majesty and Glory. Although completed in 1790, his work was not published until 1810, and a copy was placed in the library of the Archbishop of Canterbury. The Archbishop's chief librarian, S. R. Maitland, discovered the work and used it to produce a series of tracts around 1830, outlining the futurist doctrine, which included the concept of Christ returning in two phases, with the first stage involving a so-called secret rapture, after which a world dictator identified as the Antichrist would emerge. This latter feature reveals the true purpose behind the doctrine, to divert attention from the Pope being identified as Antichrist by the Protestant reformers. And this new theory identified Antichrist as a coming world dictator that will arise at some indeterminate future point. This futurist doctrine has gained momentum since the mid-19th century right through to this 21st century, firstly through the preaching of Edward Irving, the founder of the Holy Catholic Apostolic Church in 1832, and later through John Nelson Darby, the founder of the Plymouth Brethren, in 1882, Cyrus Schofield, who served under Dwight L. Moody, and James H. Brooks, incorporated futurist teachings into the notes and headings in his Reference Bible, published in 1909. Throughout the 20th and now in the 21st century, countless books have been written and sermons preached espousing the claimed truth of the so-called secret rapture, as though it is entirely supported by Scripture. Yet, as we have discovered in just a few of the many scriptures that could be used to refute this theory, nothing could be further from the truth. So, in conclusion, there is no secret coming of Jesus Christ taught in the Bible. the signs of the times around us, ever increasingly apparent each day, clearly indicate the approaching end of the age and the absolute need for the return of Jesus Christ to take up his rightful position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's calling people all over the world right now through the ministry of his true Spirit-filled church to be prepared for the greatest event in the entire history of the world, soon to take place. An event that will be so unmistakable that it will be impossible for it to pass in secret. The gospel formula for our salvation is as valid today as it was in the first century when it first began to be preached. We read in Acts 2 verses 38 to 40. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation.